Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to This Is Maria. Today, I wanted to talk about the resistance towards money. This is probably a sub-segment of a broader topic around money and wealth and abundance. And I wanted to address it because money is always on the top, like list of top five issues that people on planet Earth are worried about. So this is a common issue. And a lot of people are obsessed with it specifically because they don't have enough, right? So the lack of money is a very, very common ailment, shall we say, for our society. That being said, a lot of people do not realize that they inadvertently repel money. And so today I wanted to talk about the concept of resisting money, what it looks like from the energetic perspective, and what could be the possible reasons why so many people resist money so much. And hopefully towards the end, I'm also going to give you a couple of remedies around how you could change and shift those patterns in your life so that instead of being a money repellent, you become something else entirely, right? Something that is or someone who attracts money, somebody who has a healthy relationship with money. Money, all in all, is just energy, right? And when you're resisting a particular kind of energy, it is not, shall we say, it's not a forever state. It's a temporary state that requires healing. Resistance towards anything is temporary and it's a distortion, right? So today we're going to be healing a distortion around money. Now, before we dive in, I wanted to invite you to come meditate with me on our Sacred Universe podcast. I create new meditations there all the time. They are very healing. They're guided meditations. So if you are into guided meditations, I invite you to come journey with me. Secondarily, my book is out. It's called 72 Keys to Manifestation, or An Ancient Path of a Modern Day Alchemist. And I wrote that book with an intention to help you manifest your best life. It is a spiritual book. It is a book around how energy operates, and it would enable you to become a masterful energy operator. As a byproduct of that, you will be able to manifest anything that truly that your heart desires. And so that book is meant to be consumed over the course of 72 days. That's why it has 72 keys, one key per day. Can also be done in a random order if you'd like. If you're feeling lucky, you could just open it up on any random key and, you know, there's going to be an insight and a practice for you there. So that book is available through Amazon, Audible, and Kindle. So if you haven't checked it out yet, please do so. All right, my darlings, without further ado, we are diving into the topic of money. Now, you have heard a lot that money is just energy. You know, money is not inherently bad. You know, I'm definitely sensing a shift in thinking. Even over the past, I would say 10, 15 years, I think the humanity's concept around money has been shifting. I would say the resistance towards money that humanity has is diminishing. That being said, there are still massive amounts of it. And today I wanted to dive into specifically what that resistance is, right? Because there are so, so many people, millions of people, billions of people on this planet that would like to be richer, quote unquote, than they are, that would like to make more money than they are, that don't feel that their current level of earnings, current salary levels or, you know, wealth levels are enabling them to live comfortably, right? There are a lot of people below the poverty line, and a lot of these things are really, really sad, especially if you were to factor in that the frequency of money and the energy of money is actually really quite easy. There is nothing complicated about it. Money is a means and a proxy of energy exchange, right, on this planet. It is what you use instead of a good old barter system, right? It's something that essentially it represents your life force in a very, very physical form. So why is it that we have so much resistance to life force? If money represents life force, if money represents energy, how come human beings have so much resistance towards it? Now, of course, there is the good old money is evil. And all the rich people are evil people, or there's that misconception on the face of planet Earth, that the truly rich people had to do something illegal or something unethical or something just plain abhorrent in order to get the amount of dollars that they got. So there's a little bit of that very much in the human collective. Obviously, money is an enabler, right? An enabler. Money doesn't really shift. Money doesn't really change people. There is a misconception, again, on the collective level that money does change people. So as soon as people get rich, all of a sudden they shift or they change. I will tell you that money doesn't change people. Money reveals what has already been there. Let me say that again. Money doesn't change people. Money reveals what has already been there. So if you think that when somebody got rich, you know, like say you have an example from your own family or your own, I don't know, group of friends of somebody getting rich or winning the lottery or what have you, or just, I don't know, their company to call for something, right? Or they became an influencer and, I don't know, became Instagram famous. Whatever, whatever is there, that example that you have in front of you, and you think money has changed them. The bad news and the good news is it has already been in them, right? That, you know, whatever is the facet of negativity that you're seeing in that person, it has already been there. It's just money is an enabler. And usually when people get really rich on this planet, they don't feel like they have to wear masks anymore. And so the nastiness that has been inside all along comes out. So some of their masks fall away. Some of the coping mechanisms fall away. Some of the need to fit in falls away. Some of the fears fall away. And so, you know, people very often show their true faces when they become rich. So if you are sitting here sitting in your house, working paycheck to paycheck, and you're this amazing, kind angel of a human being, and you think that, God forbid, you were ever to become rich, it would change you, I will tell you that money does not shift who we are. Money reveals who we are. And unfortunately, it is a shame that when money is used as this litmus test for society, what you have upstairs in the 1% of the richest on planet Earth, what is really sad is how much darkness the money reveals is in complete correlation to how much darkness there is within humanity overall. Truly, there is a lot of darkness to work through. Truly, there's like a long path towards, shall we say, light that still needs to be walked, right? But money doesn't change who you are, it reveals who you are. There is that inherent need within the human family to conform. There is that inherent need to belong. In fact, belonging is one of the deepest, deepest needs that needs to be met for a human being. Community, family, you know, significant others, people around you really mean a world to you. There are many reasons why. There used to be the time when being ostracized from your own tribe meant death. So you are wired genetically at the DNA level to do anything in order to not be ostracized, in order to not be the odd one out. So you are wired genetically to conform. You are wired to be like everybody else. Because of that, becoming rich may seem as something that's dangerous. It may seem as something that would make you stand out, whether you'd like this or not. And so there's a lot of fear in the human collective family around standing out in the form of becoming rich. And then there is an even kind of like another underlying fear of people being really, really worried of not being liked for who they are, but being liked for their money, right? So there is that fear within humanity of, if I were to become rich, I couldn't tell who my real friends are. Or rather, I would lose all my real friends because all of my friends would want something from me, right? There is that fear of like, I just want to be liked for who I am and not the money that I have. And so a lot of people subconsciously would be repelling money just because they're so worried that they're not going to be able to tell friend from foe. They're so worried about being backstabbed. And they're just so worried about fake relationships that they'd rather not become rich. They'd rather just stay in their comfort zone. You know, make their paycheck, live paycheck to paycheck. At least they don't have to deal with the bigger problems that the money brings. Now, this is not necessarily the episode around the fact that people need to be wanting money. Like, that is completely irrelevant. You are where you are on your journey. You are where you are spiritually and otherwise, right? There is no right or wrong answer around whether money should or should not be important for you. There is, in the same way that there is no right or wrong answer whether anything should or shouldn't be important to you. Some people, you know, come into this life and, you know, with a very particular mission, and certain energies that are very important to others may not be important to them. Money is not for everybody. Lessons around money are not for everybody. And the only reason that I'm even making this episode is because there are enough people that really crave money, that really thirst for money and would really love to be abundant, but they just don't know how, right? If you find yourself on the other side of the spectrum where you're like, I don't want this energy for whatever reason, this video is probably not for you. This is not the kind of resistance that I would like to address today, right? Because with you, we would need to address the, what is the money a tool for? Like, what would that become an enabler for in your life? But this one is very, very different. These are the people that really are experiencing a lack because they are resisting it. I will tell you this. If you were not resisting money, you would be rich today. In fact, the amount of money that you have is directly proportionate to your comfort level and to your resistance level, right? So whatever money you have in your bank account is directly correlated to your capability of not repelling money, of not rejecting money as it comes. Very often when people repel money, it's a safety mechanism. They feel that they're keeping themselves safe by repelling and rejecting money. I have given you a couple of examples of why that could be the case, but it goes even deeper. And that is when we start getting into the energy of money as a torrent or a currency, right? There is a reason why the word currency is used in describing money. Because energetically, money is a flow. It actually looks like it's an element of water, right? Current, currency, it's an element of water energetically. Now, is that a big surprise? Not really, because a lot of the energy of abundance is connected to the element of water, right? So abundance is really water meets earth. That's what abundance is. Now, together you need fire, but that's a whole other can of worms. So essentially, when people have a resistance towards money, it's a resistance towards the element of water in one of its facets. So if you are resisting money, you are resisting the element of water. Every single person that is resisting money on this planet right now is resisting the broader energies of abundance that fall into the feminine spectrum of reality. And this is the big paradox, because on planet Earth, money is being associated with men more often than with women, because a lot more men hold on to money than women. Men, it's normal for men to make a little bit more money or a lot more money for the same work that a woman would be making less money for, right? So ironically, despite the fact that the wealth is mostly held by men on planet Earth, by the way, that's starting to shift, right? Like we're starting to swing the pendulum a little bit the other way, where women are, you know, there are now more and more women who are self-sufficient and that have money. But historically, the money used to be within the male hands in the patriarchy. But if you're resisting the energy of money, you're resisting the energy of water, and that is the divine feminine aspect. So very often that means that you would be resisting a particular aspect of your own femininity. That may mean that you are resisting either your mother to some degree or how she brought you up. That means that you may be resisting the energies of your mother lineage, right? Or some of the female representatives of your lineage. And of course, you're resisting the feminine energies within you. If you did not, even to a slight degree, you would never be able to align with the aspect of resisting money. Now, I will be the first one to admit that when people say dirty money, or that money is dirty, it is actually not very far from reality. As I am witnessing the state of this currency or the state of this water that is money on the face of this planet right now, I would say that money right now is 90-something percent dirty or 90-something percent, quote-unquote, dark. Why is that? And how come this beautiful river that does not have to be dark, how did it darken up so much? How come it became dirty? How come the vast torrent of currency is not the torrent of light, but more the torrent of this murky, dark, viscose liquid that I would not even, I mean, it is water, but it's really, really dirty, you guys. A couple of things that you need to know about money. Because money is a collective energy and a collective egregore, the number one thing that money does all the time is change hands. So if there's one thing, egregorically speaking or energetically speaking, that connects all humans, it's the egregore of money. This is the one thing that you guys really, really share. Because money, you don't really hold on to. Like, you get your paycheck, you pay the bills. That's what, you know, that's it. The money's left your bank account, or it's left your, you know, you don't have the cash anymore, whichever form you're using, right? It changes hands. So money changes hands all the time. What happens in the process of money changing hands? Money doesn't zero out. So when you get paid, that amount of dollars that you got paid, or whatever currency you get paid in, the amount of money that you get paid is transferred over to you in whichever way, shape, or form, or you're given that money. A part of your personal energy rubs off on that cash, like on that money. So you are donating, let's call it a particle of your energy, right? In the process of claiming that money as yours, you're kind of donating a portion of your energy. And so when that stream of cash, like when that cash leaves your bank account, it's going to go to the next person, whoever you're paying for goods or services, or it doesn't really matter. That money that you're transferring to the next person is going to contain all of the energies of all of the people that have touched this money prior to you. So every time you're getting a dollar, it's not a clean dollar. It's an energetically charged dollar. And let me just use dollars as an example, just for simplicity's sake. So bear with me. So it's not a clean dollar. It's not like the dollar in its zero state energy. At one point when the dollar, if we're talking physical currency, when a dollar is created, whether the government is printing more cash or it's just created digitally, it starts from its zero state. The overall torrent of money is already, you know, let's say it has a particular vibration. It's like a water of a particular color, of a particular frequency. Every new dollar that gets into the stream at first is not a charged dollar. When that dollar gets paid out, or gets created in the form of interest rates, right? You know, you guys know that interest rates create additional dollars, right? Out of nowhere. That's why there are no golden equivalents for cash anymore. It's like that is, you know, long gone. But what's interesting is whoever is that first person that gets assigned that dollar becomes charged with that person's energy. Then, you know, that person one transfers it to person two, and that dollar now contains the energy of person one and person two. Then we go to person three, right? Like that exchange of currency, people paying people. And essentially that dollar is eventually going to accumulate energy of thousands of people. And because of that, that a dollar is going to start vibrating at the same frequency as the greater average or the greater whole of the entire currency or the entire money flow of planet Earth. Now, different currencies, like if I look at the British pound, if I look at the yen, if I look at yuan, if I look at, I mean, whichever currency, it doesn't really matter. They all have slightly different vibrations to them. What is true, though, about, and by the way, those vibrations are almost like collective egregores. So by just looking at the vibration of the currency, I could tell you what is going right about a particular economy, what is going wrong about the particular economy. I can tell you what the shadows are of a particular economy. And so each of these currencies has a stream of almost like a collective imprint. I will tell you the dollar has a really, really strong imprint of domination. The dollar has a very strong imprint of control. And actually, energetically, it's like suffocating. It's almost like it's like cutting out the oxygen from some of the other currencies, some of the other countries. And that is the currency of the country that is trying to dominate looks like. And that energetically, and that's what, you know, like it's essentially, you know, the root cause determines the consequence, right? You know, I don't think that it's a big surprise. So there are a lot of these undercurrents. And by just looking at the energy of money, you can tell a lot about society. The interesting part, or shall I say the ironic part, is no matter which currency you look at in the entire world, it's a dirty currency. I would tell you, though, gold specifically, the gold particles, they are not as easily tarnished. Gold doesn't absorb energies quite so well as money. And so gold actually remains a lot more pristine. So if people were exchanging gold with one another, and if all the coins and, like, you know, the means of exchange was gold and coins, the darkness would have a much harder time being distributed throughout the face of the planet Earth, because the molecular structure of gold, like, it emanates instead of absorbing. And so gold actually does not absorb things very well. Because of that, it would be very hard for gold to become dirty. That is not the case with money, the way it stands right now. And so regardless of where you're looking at, like which currency you look at, pretty much most of the world's money is dirty. And that is because when you're getting paid and when you interact with money, the emotions that you're feeling about the money and the thoughts that you're thinking about the money in general, including your particular money, is going to rub off on that currency. So it's not only your personal energetic blueprint, but specifically money holds on to the energy of emotion and the energy of thought extremely, extremely well. So here's what happens. A lot of people, the reason that the river of money, or the torrent of money, became so dirty is because there is so much negativity in all different shapes and forms and sizes on the face of the planet Earth around money. It'll blow your mind. There's so much negativity that is being deposited into this water. This water has become so polluted, it's really hard for us to go back as a society. Here are I'm going to name some of the things that have polluted the water. People being worried about paying the bills. People being worried about putting the food on the table for their kids and their wives and their husbands, etc., right? You know, all the single mothers trying to work three jobs. Like, all of the worry around, okay, my bills are due, my expenses are too high. Like, when people think their expenses are too high, or they cannot hold on to money, the money just flows in and out, right? Like, all of that gets deposited into the larger stream of cash, larger stream of currency exchange between people. Anytime somebody loses money, anytime somebody feels like they must spend money instead of the things that they want to, anytime you have to spend the money on the things that are less fun, right? Like, when people, for instance, really want to go on vacation, but they need to pay rent. Or when people want, I don't know, there could be many, many examples of how you would rather spend your money, but because you don't have enough, you have to just pay the bills. And kind of like, that's how the money becomes not fun, right? So all of these things. There's an entire emotional spectrum, right, around not having enough, spending too much, having to save up. Oh my God. So many negative emotions around having to save up, or the opposite of it, when you have to borrow. There's a lot of negativity around having to borrow money and then give back the money that you borrowed. All of this negativity, negative emotions, sad thoughts around people who have borrowed too much, when the interest rates are too high, or they're afraid to default on their mortgage, or they're trying to save up for the mortgage, or they have student debt and student loans that they've been paying up for 10 years and there's still some left. Like, all of this frustration with money ends up deposited straight into that stream. Here is the deal, people. And that's why I was giving you such a long-winded, like 20-minute story around the torrent of money and it being dirty. Part of the reason that you are resisting money is this. When money comes your way, you have to energetically absorb it. And you have to energetically absorb all of the darkness that comes with it. So if somebody did, like, let's say you are the person number 1,000 that touched the particular dollar, but person number 500, I don't know, paid this money to buy weapons, to send those weapons to the war zone, and people got killed with those weapons bought for that money. There is a particular, like, there is like a level of karma associated with that energy now, right? Because it's essentially the money that got paid for the energy of death, or in exchange for, you know, essentially that was the money that bred the energy of death, or the, specifically the energy of murder, right? Because there's nothing wrong with death, but there's something wrong with murder for sure. Death is a natural course of life, but murder is not. It should not be. Unless it is like a predator killing its prey. But then that's different. You know, the kind of murder I'm talking about is not like a lion killing a lamb because it needs to feed itself. And so you are this person number 1,000. Make no mistake, when that money hits your bank account, you are partaking in the karma of that dollar, which went to buy the weapons which end up killing a person. Now, of course, people are unaware of that, but psychologically and subconsciously you are. It's like you're standing, like imagine like you were standing and there was like a torrential river of darkness just heading your way. Like you would feel uncomfortable about the dirty water that was about to hit your skin, your auric field, like your body. You'd be like, ew, yucky, I don't want to be hit with this dark water. And that is why people develop resistance to money. It is because the state of the money on the face of planet Earth is bad, you guys. All of this collective karma about all of these people that freaking did all the weird things with money they could only imagine, and all of these billionaires financing really weird projects that are really not in, you know, in the greater good, in the spirit of the greater good. All these people, you know, getting richer, and all of these investments that are not quite, you know, aligned to the greater good again. All of that karma hits your auric field and hits you when that dollar hits your bank account. So no wonder people develop a resistance towards that darkness, right? Because the moment you get paid, you share in that karma. And you're like, okay, well, great. How could I possibly, like, and then think about it, right? Like, subconsciously, your body knows that every dollar hits you with all the karma that happened on the life path of that dollar. If you increase your throughput, if you allow yourself to make more money, double your income, triple your income, quadruple your income, doesn't really matter. It means doubling the amount of karma that's going your way, tripling or quadrupling the amount of collective karma of humanity heading your way. What do you, like, so what happens when it hits you? When it hits you, you have to, essentially you absorb a part of it into your auric field and then you give it back, right? So you keep absorbing collective karma of humanity through participating in the system that is the monetary system of planet Earth. And because of that, you kind of sometimes take things that are not even yours into your auric field and into your life. And do you know how they say, like, money needs to be spent? Like if you're kind of like sitting on money and like you're not like recycling money, it's actually not good for you. The reason it's not good for you is because when the money is sitting and not traveling, so to say, the money starts, it's a dormant state, but not. The money starts this detox process. And so the money starts emitting higher amounts of that karma, because essentially, like, if the money was traveling, you would get, like, let's say, I don't know, like a percent of that karma. But because the money is sitting in your bank account, or I don't know, like, in your vault, it doesn't really matter, somewhere under your pillow, the money is sitting there. The money is not traveling. So the money is going to start releasing karma and it's all going to hit you. So in fact, it's not advisable for you to hold on to cash. You're better off, frankly, holding on to, like, if you have, I mean, and again, this is not an investment advice podcast, okay? Let's just get real. This is just the energy podcast. This is the spirituality podcast. But if you are going to hold on to a lot of massive amounts of cash, or if you're going to hold on to a lot of money on your bank account, you're better off converting that into a commodity, like, I don't know, slabs of gold or platinum or something, right? Because gold is not going to sit somewhere in your house or in your vault and emit all of this human karma because it doesn't hold on to it. But the dollars that are sitting on your bank account will. And because of that, when money is stagnant, money starts creating problems in your life because it starts emitting all of this karma and you and your family are the ones absorbing that karma. So money always needs to be quote unquote moving and quote unquote working. That way you don't, you know, you don't partake in the karmic side of this whole collective human karma quite as much. I will tell you this. You don't have to be okay with the status quo. You don't have to take that collective humanity karma just by the virtue of participating in this energy exchange. You don't have to take the dirty money. There is, or there are many actually, energetic practices that would enable you to cleanse the flow of money coming your way so that your energy body and your subconscious doesn't start feeling dirty anytime you need to double, triple, or quadruple your income. So you can ensure that the money that comes to you is clean money, that the money that comes to you is blessed money, that the money that comes to you is a byproduct of light, right? And essentially, energetically, here's what I want to invite you to do: a quick attunement with me. Once you do this attunement, you know, there is a chance that you may need to do it a couple of years down the road, you know, if something shifts energetically, but here's what you would want to do. So you want to close your eyes, take a few deep breaths. And you would want to imagine that the money that is coming to you is a river, right? And you would want to notice that that river that comes to you, I mean, the unfortunate truth about 100% of money on the face of planet Earth is it's dirty money, meaning like 90% of that river is polluted and about 10% is okay. Now, 10% inside of the 90% is even hard to differentiate. It's hard to distinguish. Essentially, it just all looks like dirty water. So imagine that there's like dirty water coming your way. It's really scary to increase the throughput of that water because even the amount that's coming through right now is like already, whoa, dirty. So here's what I would like for you to imagine. I would like for you to imagine that right in front of you, there is an archway, like an arc, a white arc. And that arc represents, it's almost like a rite of passage. It's like, I don't know, call it a portal, call it, I don't know, the magic arc. And the whole purpose of this magic arc is this. Anything that comes through this arc gets instantly cleansed because this arc has this white light just dripping from the top, right? Like almost like a torrent from source consciousness, from God, goddess, doesn't really matter. And so this arc is like the arc of purification, let's call it that. And so here's what I would like for you to imagine, that as this dirty water, as this dirty river is floating towards you, this white arc that you have installed, it's like a personal arc. It's something that is personal to you. It only belongs to you, maybe you and your family. I want you to imagine that as the water, as the river, like the dirty river goes through this white arc, everything that comes out on your side is water made of pure light. So all of a sudden, instead of absorbing all of these dirty weirdness from the entirety of the human collective, you're absorbing what looks like a stream of white light. And I want you to take that river, take that water into the middle of your solar plexus. Middle of your solar plexus, right? So keep absorbing that water. It's clean, the energy of clean money. Do you feel, like if you're doing this practice with me right now, do you feel how different the energy of money feels? Usually, And maybe we should have done the before and after. But if we were to remove this white arc, and I asked you to absorb the energy of money into your solar plexus, you would physically notice the muscles in your abdominal area constrict, because your muscles feel like they need to protect you from this nastiness that's about to hit you. But once we put that white cleansing portal, that white cleansing archway, and what we're absorbing is this white, beautiful energy, it's expansive. Do you see how your belly feels expanded, how your solar plexus feels good, almost like nurtured? This is a different caliber of energy. This is a different experience for you, etherically, energetically, physically even. And from this point onward, what you can do is, because it's like make a pact with the universe that every single dollar that comes your way is going to be a clean dollar, because it's going to go through this cleansing process. From here, you can increase the size of that torrent. You can imagine that the amount of the water that the river gives you is double, and that represents doubling your income. Then imagine that it's triple, and that represents tripling your income. Imagine that it's 10x, that represents 10xing your income. And keep absorbing things into your solar plexus. You would notice that if you keep raising the bar on like how many X's you want to attract around your abundance, like 2X is hard for a lot of people. 3X is extremely hard. Most likely the reason you're not making three times right now what you are making, right? But you're just making one time of what you're making, right? The reason that your salary or whatever payments you're getting is not three times higher is because your body is only able to receive whatever your salary is. So you need to increase your own capacity, the capacity of your body to receive money. And one way to do that is by expanding your solar plexus, by expanding your belly area, and almost like creating pockets within your energy body that could take large amounts of money. Because if the money does not have a place to go in your auric field, in your energy field, it's going to bypass you and go to the next guy or the next girl, because you don't have capacity. You don't have a container for the money. So before more money can come into your life, you need to make sure that your energy vessel has enough room, enough space for that money to come through. Otherwise, there is no way you can ever align with more cash. Does that make sense? And now from this standpoint of money being this white torrent, let's look at the truth of this whole thing. Is money evil? Absolutely not. Is money the root of all evil? Absolutely not. Because that white stream of cash, like white stream of currency that you're feeling, is vibrationally close to God. This white stream that is entering your solar plexus right now, vibrationally is very close to God. It's very high vibration. Isn't that money? Yes, it is. It's clean money, though. And that's different. That's clean energy. That's energy that's free of karma. That's why it's so close to God, a source consciousness. So what we are realizing is that money is not inherently evil. It is just the state of money, and the collective egregore of money has become polluted because of the emotions and the thoughts and the negativity that people associated with money and not having enough and et cetera, all of the fears, right? So that river has become polluted. Does the river have to be polluted? Absolutely not. We can cleanse the river. Like if enough people chose to cleanse the stream of their own personal cash, do you know what would end up happening? Instead of giving the dirty dollar when you're tipping somebody, or when you're paying rent, or when you're buying that piece of clothing, or when you're going that vacation, or whatever, when you're buying that food at a grocery store, instead of giving somebody a dark dollar, instead of giving them a polluted dollar, you are giving them the most beautiful, pristine energy of water in abundance that has been cleansed by you. What does it mean? That means that that dollar is going to elevate the experience, the consciousness, and the energetic vibration of every person that that dollar travels to. So you become a part of the cleanup effort. You become the cleanup crew for this beautiful river. And if enough people do that, that river is going to start shifting. It's going to shift from 90% dark to 80% dark to 50% dark to 10% dark to pure light. And when it switches to pure light, we're going to know without a trace of a doubt, as a large human family, that money has never been evil. In fact, money is a potent tool, and it is life force encapsulated in this weird third-dimensional construct. And through this life force, we can make anything happen. We can build a new world, a better world. We can finance the projects that need to be financed. We can do the right thing. We can tip the people generously. We can create a world without suffering and pain. Because the main river that flows through all of our bodies would be clean. That would massively shift the state of water on this planet for us collectively and for us individually, right? So make it a habit to cleanse every single dollar that comes into your vicinity. Now, the topic of money is really broad. I could probably talk for 10 more hours covering the different facets of money. If you have specific questions for me, you and you're watching this on YouTube, feel free to drop me the questions in the comment section. I will consider making more videos about this. I will consider making more episodes about this. In the meantime, I will take questions from the collective, anything that has to do with money resistance and about this episode, as long as it serves a greater collective, I'm here to respond and ready to receive the question. The question is this. You mentioned that the energy of money is the energy of water. And because of that, you mentioned that the people that resist money are sometimes the people that resist either their mother or the femininity within them. So if that is the case, how do we make sure that, you know, we heal that part of ourselves? And, you know, could that be one of the ways to help attract more money into our lives? 100%. Yes. I would say you first want to start with your relationship with your mother, because that is always going to be the proxy of your relationship to your own femininity. I have made a podcast episode and a video about how to heal your relationship with your mother. We're going to, for those watching on YouTube, we're going to link it down below. So feel free to start there, right? So healing your mother wound, your relationship with your mom is paramount. If you're trying to specifically unlock the energy of money, because that is water. Now, I don't want you to get confused, because there's a little bit of confusion that I'm sensing. In my book and in my previous videos, I have said that for those people who are having a hard time manifesting, your manifestation is connected to your father. That is not incorrect. Your manifestation ability is connected to your father, because your manifestation ability is connected to your solar plexus and the energy of the sun inside of your body. And that historically has been connected to your father energies, because historically the sun has been masculine. That is still the case. Now, manifestation is a very broad energy and a very broad subject. You may be manifesting relationships, you may be manifesting health, you may be manifesting wealth, you may be manifesting whatever. That manifestation thing is connected to, and because manifestation is ignition, ignite. That is the energy of fire. That is the energy of the sun. That is the energy of the father. Sun as in S-U-N, not S-O-N. And thanks to the English language, it gets really, really confusing. That being said, money is a subsegment of abundance. And that specifically because it's a water, it's connected to your mother wound, it's connected to your own femininity. Right. There are many ways that you can heal your feminine. I have made many episodes around healing the feminine and feminine versus femininity and masculinity. It is a broad subject. It's a broad topic. But the feminine has been really, really repressed. Even within our bodies, right? We are governed. The majority of humanity is governed by the left hemisphere of their brain. That's why most people are righties. You write with your right hand, right? Because your left hemisphere governs the right side of your body. The right side of your body is dominant. The masculine side of your body is dominant, right? Because of that, we live in the society of logic, language, you know, very logical sequences. 1 + 1 = 2, all of the good stuff, right? Because of that, our femininity has been suppressed. Even the proliferation of language itself and the written word, specifically the aspect of writing and reading, really reshaped and shifted our society towards a left brain modality of perception. Logic comes first. Because of that, your own, essentially your right hemisphere, which governs the left side of your body and the femininity, has been repressed. That is, instead of thinking that is more of the artistic way of viewing the world. That is more about symbols, less about language. It's less about precision. The feminine side is more about the bigger picture. The feminine side is more about intuition. It's more about foresight, etc. That has been repressed in humanity, right? So most likely, and chances are, you have been repressing that within yourself as well. So if your feminine has been repressed, what are the odds that the energy of water in your life that is embodied through money is not repressed? There is no chance, right? Because if you're repressing the feminine in your own body, as within, so without, as above, so below, hermetic principles. So you would just see that same manifestation in your outside world. So the moment you stop repressing your right brain, the moment you start opening up to everything else that is there on the right side of your brain, which means actually spirituality. A spiritual path unlocks your right brain like nobody's business. Meditation unlocks it like nobody's business. Energy work, all of these exercises that I'm giving you, all of these are geared towards activating the parts of your brain that you haven't been using. And that means your repressed femininity. And that means the more energy work that you do, the more spirituality that you do, the more inherently aligned to your own femininity you're going to be. Now, you may ask me, fine, Maria, how is it that all of these spiritual people that are meditating all day, every day, are so dirt poor? Or a lot of them are. And a lot of these practitioners don't want to charge so much money. And it's not like they are the 1%, right? Because if my logic is that when you go spiritual, you essentially unlock this dormant potential. And the answer is because they are resisting money. They have a resistance towards money. And by the way, the spiritual people have a very particular flavor of resistance towards money. And that is, if I'm on my mission serving, quote unquote, humanity, right? How would I charge for it? Charging for my, quote unquote, spiritual gifts makes me a bad person. And there's so much to unpack in that one statement alone that I probably need to make an entire episode about people that start pursuing a spiritual modality as a career path and all of the challenges that are associated with it. And, you know, there's a deep-rooted conditioning that dates back to a lot of the gurus, actually, right? A lot of the gurus, a lot of the prominent teachers never used to charge people, right? There's this whole thing about like, well, Jesus never charged for like his lessons or his sermons and whatnot. But there was an energy exchange between Jesus and people. People would bring Jesus gifts all the time. All kinds. All kinds. By the way, Jesus also had very, very rich relatives, right? Buddha came from a lot of means, right? Now he walked away from it, but it doesn't really matter. Where I'm going with this is there are a lot of big I don't even know, authority figures in the spiritual field, that somehow like the world perceives them as like, you know, just having these big missions and never really being needing money, right? Now, the times are different. The times have shifted, right? What was not normal, quote unquote, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, or 1,500 years ago is normal now. And moreover, more and more people are being called to walk on a spiritual path, right? And walk the spiritual path and pick that as their career. And because of that, and by the way, not everybody's Jesus or Buddha. Unfortunately, I wish that was the case. Wouldn't the world be a much better place, right? And so there's, you know, there are a lot more teachers, right? Like it used to be that there was one teacher and that one teacher was supposed to cover like a third of the planet. And now there are so many teachers that are meant to have a more localized impact. And of course, in a world where you're having a localized impact, trying to compare yourself to a teacher that had global impact, it is really, really hard. So as, you know, a practitioner in the spiritual fields, I urge you to first understand that if you're not able to charge for your services, you have a massive self-worth issue. And that almost opens up a whole other can of worms that I'm not ready to open up today because it's another 60 minutes at least of a conversation. But there is a pandemic of low self-esteem on planet Earth. A pandemic. It's everywhere. We have so many people with such crazy low self-esteem. I could not begin to tell you. It is a problem. The issue around self-worth, the issue around not being enough, the issue around smallness, right? Like that perception of you're small and insignificant and you're never going to make it and nobody loves you and nobody wants you, you're not good enough and you're always, no matter what, you always mess up and all of those things. This is a very loud stream in the collective consciousness of humanity. And the answer to the question of why these poor people in the spiritual field are not charging accordingly is because they have a self-worth issue. And also because they've been told that money is the root of all evil. And there's no way you can be spiritual and rich. It's either or. But I'll tell you this. If more spiritual people were rich, we would have already turned the tides of this river, of the dirty river of the currency. Because more spiritual people would make, you know, if spiritual people had more money, their money, by the way, A, is cleansed by their energy. By just getting into the auric field, it's cleansed. B, usually goes to support conscious enterprise, you know, more sustainable products. We would be living in a different world. And the river that is money would be a lot cleaner by now if a lot more spiritual people allow themselves the audacity to have money. There is nothing inherently non-spiritual in money. Money is a resource in a third-dimensional world. In fact, I would question anybody who is trying to teach anything if they haven't figured out the money game. Because if they are repelling the abundance of the mother to such a degree, what else are they repelling? But the more important question is why? Because if they don't have the means to provide for themselves and others, that probably means they have a massive, massive issue around self-esteem. Yeah. That is probably more so the case these days. Now, that was a big, massive tangent. If you guys want me to make more videos about money, or if you have specific questions or suggestions, I'm all ears. This is a subject that I actually really enjoy teaching about because it is near and dear to my heart. And frankly, at this point, I think that we need to start shifting the narrative around money on this planet. We need to start shifting what's possible for good people like yourselves. And we need to start shifting the tides and the quality of that water of money that's flowing through your auric field. Because that is how you build a better world. No, you cannot just sit and meditate and hope and pray that the better world is going to come. Some of us are actually going to have to build it. And in order to build a better world, you need resources. And resources these days come in the form of money more often than not. Alrighty, my darlings, thank you for sticking around. I know this was a little bit charged, a little bit emotional. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sending you a big virtual hug. You can do this. And I'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.